Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Thanks for joining us again tonight. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about Sabbatai Zevi, or however you pronounce it. I'm not even going to get into the pronunciation. Todd pronounces it different than I do. We've got some good information going into his history, the history of the Holocaust and Zionism, and so some interesting tie-ins there. A couple of weeks ago, we were discussing the origins of Freemasonry through Islam and through the Sufis, etc. This is The Sufis by Idris Shah, with an introduction by Robert Graves, who worked directly with Gordon Wasson. He was at one point the head of the OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis, which was founded by, of course, Satanist Aleister Crowley, who is a big Muslimite. But Robert Graves, like I said, he worked directly with Gordon Wasson, who was the head of MKUltra Subproject 58. And Robert Graves is also, he authored these books, Greek Myths 1 and 2 and The White Goddess, and he was a poet and worked at Oxford, I think it was the university he worked at, but big occultist guy. But today, just a little bit ago, I was just flipping through and found this quote here I wanted to read for all of you. The Sufis are an ancient spiritual Freemasonry. Indeed, Freemasonry itself began as a Sufi society. It first reached England in the reign of King Æthelstan in 924 to 939 and was introduced into Scotland disguised as a craft guild at the beginning of the 14th century. And that is right here for all of you to see, just so you can all see that it's actually right there. That's where my finger is right here. So anyway, I figured that would be, you know, more evidence that it's an Islamic Gnostic organization. Everybody is so fond of calling it a Jewish organization, and I have in the past as well. But we're trying to get beyond that and look a little deeper into things rather than just constantly grabbing at the low-hanging fruit. So, Todd, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back as well. And let's see. You know, I think we're going to have a great show tonight. It's more stuff that is hidden. And, of course, we're constantly told to look the other direction on all of this. So, you know, we're going to continue to swim upstream against all of the warnings not to and against all the people trying to get us back into line for doing so, etc. So anyway, where do you want to start off here? Why don't you start off with that quote that you wanted to read?
Yeah, so and just to let everyone know, tonight's going to be a little bit more of a jam session, and it's going to be based a lot on the work of Barry Chamish, Elad Pressman, and Rabbi Entelman, into the backgrounds of the actual nefarious sides of Jewry as it exists today. And it's just another example of Jews who say they're Jews, but they aren't. So, but to really seal the deal here, guys, I felt so dumb that I didn't have this in my last presentation. But if you go and look up the etymological roots of Kabbalah, here's what you find.
I'm going to show that. I'm going to try and get that on screen here. I'm just pulling it up here as well.
All right. So, Kabbalah, noun, Jewish mystic philosophy, 1520s, from medieval Latin Kabbalah, from Mishnaic Hebrew Kabbalah, reception, received lore, tradition, especially tradition of mystical interpretation of the Old Testament, from kibbel, to receive, admit, accept. Compare to Arabic Kabbalah, he received, accepted. Hence, any secret or esoteric science. All right, so the word Kabbalah, as it's related to Jewish culture, arrives in 1520s. Well, guess what? The Arabic word Kabbalah is 1,000 years older than that, perhaps, but it's definitely older. So which came first, the chicken or the egg? And Jan was right. When Kabbalah was coming up in Spain, that was, I had to go look it up and figure it out. And he's right. That was during the time where the Moorish dynasty was basically still ruled most of Spain, but not all of it. So there's that. So I hope that really just kind of, come on, guys. It's getting more and more obvious every day. But what I want to talk about is tonight is like the actual where things really went bad in Jewry, and really muddied the waters really bad, and is technically why I think everybody hates them at this point in time. So that is because of a man named as Sabbatai Zevi, or as the fellow Barry Chamish says, that it really should be pronounced Shabtai Zvi in the Yiddish or Hebrew, whatever. So the story of Shabtai Zvi can also be found in the book I was reading from Gershom Scholem called Trends in Jewish Mysticism. And what we find out is that Shabtai Zvi was a very odd man, and he was brought up in a rabbinical family, and he was given a lot of rabbinical training, and eventually he wound up a part of some kind of, you know, Kabbalistic mystical school. But the deal was, is that this guy had really high highs and really low lows. So you can't think of Shabtai Zvi without thinking of this guy named Nathan of Gaza. And he's a bit mysterious. No one really knows where he came from or anything like that. But he shows up on the scene in Palestine, on the Gaza Strip. And we'll get to that. But Nathan of Gaza and Shabtai Zvi, they go hand in hand together. So eventually Shabtai Zvi, because he would do like crazy things when he was on his really high highs, and he'd have these really mystical experiences, but then he would crash into these really low lows. And this is described to us by Nathan of Gaza. So what the Kabbalist Gershom Scholem, and Gershom Scholem says that Shabtai Zvi is a messiah, okay? So, okay, again, Gershom Scholem, Zionist Party, Germany, says this weirdo is the messiah of the Jewish people, okay? So just take note of that. So what he does say about Shabtai Zvi is that he most likely had some kind of manic depressive disorder, some sort of bipolar disorder. He was mentally ill. Shabtai Zvi was mentally ill, okay? Now, because he was mentally ill and he would do the wildest things when he was supposedly possessed by the spirit, he ended up getting kicked out of his little coven there of Kabbalists. And, you know, so he started wandering around a vagabond lifestyle. And so while he was wandering, he heard this legend of this guy named Nathan of Gaza, the new prophet of the Jewish people. So this Nathan of Gaza, which is in Palestine, and let's take note, because at the very end of the show last time, I was talking about a guy who had an experience with Abu Lafia in Palestine. So there it is. It must be associated. Nathan of Gaza must, in my mind, must be associated with the same mystical traditions that were started by Abu Lafia. Now, Nathan of Gaza had a vision that the Messiah was about to return. So Shabtai Tzvi hears the legend of Nathan of Gaza saying that he's saying that the Messiah is about ready to return. So Shabtai Tzvi goes, wow, he must be a really holy man of God. I bet he can help me with my manic depressiveness. So Shabtai Tzvi originally goes to find Nathan of Gaza, the new prophet of the Jewish people, to get healing. Because he knew he was messed up. But when Nathan of Gaza sees Shabtai Tzvi, he has a mystical experience, so he claims, and says, here is the Messiah. Now, Shabtai Tzvi didn't want anything to do with it at first. He was like, what? Are you crazy? I came here for you to help me. So eventually, over time, Nathan of Gaza convinces this mentally ill man that he is the Messiah of the Jews. Now, the only reason Shabtai Tzvi got anywhere is because Nathan of Gaza wrote everything for him. He was it's like this new Moses and Aaron sort of thing, right? So Moses had a speech impediment, according to the Bible, and that's why Aaron, his brother, was chosen as his mouthpiece. So it's the same idea. It's like you got your Messiah, but then you've got his mouthpiece, right? So this is like an idea in Jewish minds that was acceptable. So in Kabbalism, as it had caught on with a lot of people, like I had mentioned before, the ideas of Kabbalism caught on with a whole lot of Jews, but it still wasn't an irrational method. But they would accept some of the legends coming from these irrational, mystical Kabbalists. And one of them is that there are, so seven times seven is 49. So 7,000 years happens in a whole week, right? So they would say that there's this bigger timeline where there is a different law or a different Torah given to the Jews every 7,000 years. And the Jews were expecting this to happen because they had been prepared for it by all these mystic Kabbalists, even though, you know, they weren't mystic Kabbalists themselves. So they were really hoping for a Messiah. And besides, during this time, they're highly persecuted, right? So you either had to like convert to Islam or you converted to Catholicism, and you know, it was hard for the Jews at this time. So they wanted their Messiah. So anyway, Nathan of Gaza started basically a propaganda campaign to let the Jewish people know that their Messiah had arrived and that he had brought the new Torah, and that the new Torah was simply the old Torah reversed. So all Mishnahs became sins and all sins became Mishnahs. So thou shalt not kill became thou shalt kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery became thou shalt commit adultery. And that don't drink the blood of animals became drink the blood of animals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Now there was a big debate among the Sabbatean followers about whether the Messiah was supposed to fulfill the new Torah requirements, which was the Torah in reverse, or whether they were all supposed to do it, because that was quite radical to all of them. So there were different philosophies on this that developed in the Sabbatean movement. So not all of them were, you know, doing all these things. Some of them thought it was only for the Messiah to do and not for us to do. And some of them thought, well, that's for us to do too. So that's Shabtai Tzvi, and then that's where Jewishness went wrong. And just notice, it's so utterly simple, they just inverted it. Okay, it's It's the same satanic thing that's been happening over and over and over again. So any questions from the people that are rational and reasonable?
There's only a couple rational and reasonable people in the audience so far. Most of them are just GDL shills.
All right.
So, and they don't know what an empty sock account is. They're just, it's like 37 thumbs down at the start of the show, and they're pretending that those aren't shill sock accounts. You know, it's like, oh, come on. I mean, David Brown, you got to use your brain eventually.
Like, you guys are really going to make that argument that it's Jan's loyal followers who are so fanatical that they're going to thumbs it down before the show even happens?
Right.
I mean, that's such a preposterous argument you're making there. Just be quiet with it.
Yeah, David Brown says, where is your proof of fake accounts and shills, retard? It's like, well, here's one right here, retard. David Brown, let's show this one. Empty sock account, 2 subscribers, NPC. Okay, new account created. Let's go to this one. Here's Theodore McMaster, 1 subscriber, new account here. We can go right through the list and show how most of you guys, but look at this. See, it just started. You know, and these shills, you know, and I actually have so-called friends trying to tell me that this is all organic thumbs down against our show and not these GDL paid shills trying to suppress this stuff getting out. They don't want people knowing that there are ties to Islam. The official narrative is you have to say Jew, 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 Jew. It's my Jews. That's all they say. It's my Jews, Jew. And if you diverge from that narrative whatsoever, if you diverge from the neo-Nazi Islamic narrative of it's the Jews, then they come after you and you're a shill, you're a sellout, like, you know, like these half-wits like Theodore McMaster and David Brown and the rest of these people. That's when they start the narrative of you're a sellout and everything. And, you know, we've in these 12 shows that we've done so far, the citations are on screen for anyone to check. So for those of you who can't check them, that says that, you know, that's about you. That's about your intellectual capacity, not about me selling out. It has nothing to do with me selling out. I have always used the Trivium to follow the citations. I wish I would have checked the Talmud citations years ago before ever sharing them, because as soon as I did, you know, and like, you know, there's this half-wit, he did a video attacking me recently, or about a month ago, and he would just show the one paragraph and say, and you were in his comments section, but he would just show the one paragraph with the one line from the Talmud, and then, of course, ignore the whole discussion around that one line. And then, like, a so-called friend, Caleb, was in there, and he's like, oh, see, it's true. You know, what about the contradictions? And it's like, well, if you just focus on the rest of the discussion and not just the, you know, one line with your myopia, you can see how the whole discussion actually debunks that theme. It's a law book.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So that video was such crap, because I mean, he brushed through all the like stuff that you actually covered and then focused on only the part about, you know, Jesus boiling in hot excrement. I mean, like, that's such a complicated study. There's a reason why we haven't gotten to it yet.
Here, look.
But really, in the end, it's still obvious.
David Brown, empty shill account, and then he's claiming that this is supposed to be organic comments and stuff. Look at this. Empty account every time. They're all empty accounts. It's probably HT or Albert Bishai or one of these guys who's, you know, who has to hide.
Don't forget Steve.
Huh?
Don't forget Steve.
Stave, yeah, Stave. He's in with them now too. So, anyway, yeah, let's.
And
you know what's interesting is most of these people aren't even the normal audience in here that are posting all this crap. You know, Logos, my arse, you nicked it of Jones, you are anti-logos, whatever that means. It's not even English. But, you know, see, they're not smart enough to realize that, hey, Alex Jones has a large platform where you can reach hundreds of thousands of people, and exposing people like this who are Islamist neo-Nazis hiding behind Christian rhetoric, you know, and alerting to people that, you know, to this agenda, that's bad. We should limit the audience. That's the mentality of these people. So,
right.
You know, if you reach more people, if somebody provides you a platform to reach more people, well, you sold out, man. Even though you don't take a dime for doing it, you know, Alex Jones' producer calls you up or texts you and says, do you want to come on? You say, no, not really. He threw me under the bus going on Alex Jones. And they say, well, we're talking about this today and you should really come on. And it's like, you know, well, all right, fine, I'll go on. But, you know, it's like, you know, they can't handle any facts. And then and then it's like, you know, and then Caleb is in there. Please stop talking about shills and present grammar. Thanks. Well, you know, we've been doing that. So try to follow along. I mean, Caleb specifically has ignored every single bit of grammar that we've provided him for the last 2 weeks, every single bit. And then he keeps calling for grammar. And it's like, wow,
well,
come on.
That's fine. Let's not let them hijack the show.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy, guys. Yeah.
Just you know, whatever, man. Your story is shallow. It's an us versus them paradigm. There's no openness of dialogue. It's clear you have an agenda and you are no longer open to logos, which is a discussion. You are quick to make accusations. You are quick to bring question on everything. There is not one single supportive comment from any of you. Not one of you says, oh, that's a good point. Let me think about it. And then come back with some reasonable, rational response backed by some historical facts that you can prove with primary citations. None of you do it. Not one. So it's clear you have an agenda, and it's not to be open and honest. So I hope you enjoy your will to power there, friends, because it's a short amount of time that you'll get to do it, because you're going to die someday because you'll get old. And then what will happen to you, even if you expressed all that willpower?
And DuckSpeak just posted up a super chat, said, great content. Thanks to both. And thank you, DuckSpeak. Thanks to everybody who's been supporting the show. And we had some great support last week. People are really beginning to see through these, you know, GDL liars and sock accounts and everything, you know, and these people just trying to overwhelm the shows with lies and bullshit and slander and libel. So really appreciate all the support for those of you out, you know, out there who still are you know, cognizant in the brain. For the rest of you, it's really sad to see that you can't, you know, fact check, verify citations, etc. So we're going to move on. Greatly appreciate all of the support last week, this week, and much love to those of you who are seeing through it all. And so anyway, you know, God bless you. For those of you who lie and slander, you know, we forgive you. And we forgive your trespasses. We're Christians. We're not, you know, Islamist neo-Nazis hiding behind sock accounts and pretending to spread truth like you are, and pretending that all of your thumbs down and hit piece videos are organic, you know, spreading all your lies. I mean, who that is honest and a Christian needs to do that? So got to think about that a little bit, you know, Caleb et al. Go ahead.
All right. So where the Jews went wrong is with Shabtai Tzvi and Nathan of Gaza. And what they did is they took the Torah and they just inverted it. They didn't do anything special. They didn't create anything new. They just inverted the word of God and started practicing that. And they managed to get about half of Jewry to follow him. Now, there's a big debate about how was it that Nathan of Gaza was able to get this Shabtai Tzvi messianic message out to the Jews. Now, Barry Chamish seems to think that it's the Catholic Church. Another fellow named Elad Pressman, he happens to think it's the Maranos and the Templars. And I happen to agree with Elad Pressman that it is the Muranos and the Templars, because when the Templars got persecuted, they already had a large community in their area of Jews called Muranos. And they were Jews who had converted to Catholicism in order to avoid being persecuted, right? So Elad says that he thinks that the Templars, a lot of them, escaped into the Murano community, actually. And that the Muranos were most of the pirates, and it is a Murano navigator who navigated Christopher Columbus's ship to the New World. Okay. So these Muranos are crypto Jews, but the Muranos are also a sect of Jewry that arrived in that Moorish Spanish Empire. So it's very muddy there. It's obviously got Islamic hands all over it. So there's that. So what they think is because the Muranos, Elad Pressman says, because the Muranos were already mostly a seafaring people, and they did a lot of slave trading too. So when people were talking about the Jews who were into slave trading, well, it's these Muranos. Okay, they're like they're crypto Jews of a certain kind, and they were buying and selling slaves with the Islamic Caliphate for a long, long time.
You know, and what people think that we're doing by exposing the history and primary text behind all this is we're defending the Jews. No, I mean you're talking about Murano Jews, and you know it's funny is that, you know, for 10 years I exposed stuff behind Judaism, and then we start looking into Islam. Oh, that's bad. You don't touch Islam. And then when you start realizing the OTO, the Freemasons, the Shriners, all these groups are tied to Islam, then you begin to understand why Islam is off bounds, you know. And it's, you know, all these liberals, you know, their talking points are exactly identical to the neo-Nazis and the Islamists. And, you know, and when you start to put this all together, it makes more sense than just, you know, this easy low-hanging fruit of everything is the Jews, always the Jews, 100% the time the Jews, don't look at anything but the Jews, you know, like you know, so many people. It's like Brendan O'Connell a couple months back was saying that we shouldn't do any shows except for focus on Jews, you know.
I mean, how more obvious can it be? The whole truth movement now is just name the Jew, and all of you people who are like dopes and dupes, and you think it's a real movement, you're insane. You're crazy. It's not organic at all. This is a divide and conquer
paid by billionaires that worked for directly under the Obama administration. It's like, hello. Brian Kerr posted up a $5 donation. He says, I've learned a lot by listening to your show. I only wish I could had more money to donate. I really appreciate the super chat there, Brian. Appreciate any support from everyone. And again, really appreciate all the support and love that we had last week as well. And, you know, it's like people need to start being more specific too. How many times do we need to cite Revelation 3:9? Talking about those who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan. So if you know, they are not Jews, who are the real Jews, number one? Number two, you know, can we distinguish between those who are not Jews but lie from those who really are? And stop saying, it's the Jews, it's everything is the Jews. So we're trying to add a little bit of intelligence to the narrative here rather than just, you know, it's Majews, everything's Majews, and shutting down any intellectual conversation. You know, it's like when I'm sitting there texting for somebody and telling them not to text me for 2 weeks and to call me up and have a real conversation or send it an email or whatever, and their whole narrative is it's the Jews, you know, And then they won't look at any of the primary citations, no matter what questions I asked. They avoided every question. They dodged every single primary citation. And then they come back every single time. It's the Jews. The Muslims are the victim of the Jews. Everybody's the victim of the Jews all the time, every day. That's all there is victims of Jews. And
yeah. And notice it's even, look, it wouldn't be so worrisome, okay, guys, if it was just a bunch of these, you know, retard defense league people, all right? I wouldn't really bother me. But the problem is that you've got people like Owen Benjamin coming on every single day of the week hammering it about the Jews. And then you've got Notre Dame burning, right? And while it's burning, Vox Day is coming on live and says that the Notre Dame is burning because of the Jews.
Right.
Okay.
Not because of Islamists. Not because Islamists have burned two churches in France every single day for the last year. It's the Jews. Oh, well, the Muslims were infiltrated by the Jews, so it's the Jews. It's like the whole mentality of black victimization. Blacks don't commit 51 to 56% of the crime on their own. It's always whitey's fault. It's always the Jews' fault. You know, and it's like, when do we stop with this BS narrative and just look at the facts at what they are? And a lot of people can't accept the idea. And, you know, Caleb even mentioned to me that the government always lies 100% of the time about everything, he said. So they must have lied about 9/11. So therefore, it's the Jews, you know? And it's like, okay, so 100% of the time, they never tell the truth, sweeping generalization much. And then, you know, and granted, there's problems with the official story. But here's the thing also is, why was the Saudi royal family flown out right after that event happened? And then, of course, it's the Jews. Well, the Saudis were infiltrated by the Jews. Well, the Saudis are, you know, they're a Jewish family, you know, and it's like just constantly this freaking narrative. And it's never, you know, they can't identify any of the facts or citations. It's just everybody's a victim of the Jews, you know, and it's like, okay, so and I bought into that for years and I woke up and it's like, wait a second. You know, if we're constantly beating this drum, is that how you win people over? Do you win people over by spreading hate and lies, by spreading fake Talmud quotes, by hiding behind sock accounts? Is that how you do it? Is that how you win people over? Or is the goal to have a genocide against the Jews and to get free speech shut down and for all these neo-Nazi Islamists to get the Christians blamed for it? That's what it looks like to me. You disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that. I honestly, well, we're going to get into this in a bit too, because what's happening now is that around the world, they're trying to make it as uncomfortable for Jewish people to live in their country where they live. And I honestly believe they're just trying to get all of them to go back to Israel so that they're all in one place and they can just kill them all.
See, Handsome Truth just showed up. He's apparently so obsessed about me and spreading his, you know, hate. You know, by the way, Handsome Truth, you know, glad you get that money from Tom Steyer and you're right there off the Petaluma base there. I mean, you know, nothing to see there. But, you know, I know, you know, where your house is and everything else. I'd be happy to, you know, share that. But did you hear my song I made about you yet? Everyone go listen to The Truth About Jan. Stop claiming you're Christian lying when you're a lying Mormon fraud. It's like, you know, whatever. It's so, so dumb. I mean, Handsome Truth has about one of the lowest IQs out there, and people actually worship that guy. I mean, he's a failed rapper called Shooby Doo-Wop. You know,
he's a Bernie bro.
And he's a Bernie bro. He worships, you know, a communist Jewish democratic leader. And he goes around spreading fake BS to get Jews assassinated for a paycheck. That's all the guy does, you know. And people worship this clown, you know, and he wears his stupid, you know, he puts on glasses. He does all this peacocking stuff to get attention. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's like,
you know what it
intellectual deficiency, you know?
No, he knows what he's doing. It's called meme magic. Don't you, handsome truth? You got like a you got the meme magic for dummies book from Tom, and he set you to a task, didn't he? Making a little violent meme magic, demon possessing these people, these poor white people who they lost their tribe. And what are you doing? You're weaponizing them. Good job, bro.
Yeah. Good job. Good job trying to get free speech shut down for your little paycheck there. I mean, you know, I thought you were getting off the internet. You made this whole sob story for all your GDL fanboys and everything who actually buy into your shit, all the people who are dumb enough to buy into your crap. But Journalistic Tools just gave a $5 super chat. He said, Ryan Dawson on 9/11, his movie The Empire Unmasked is named The Dancing Israelis and the Arab Connection. Good stream, Jan. Love your work. You know, so, you know, here we go. Because everybody, and Lloyd had said that the dancing Jews were, you know, there was an Arab connection there, too, a few weeks ago. So,
and if you, anyone who takes a real good look at the dancing Jews, they all conclude that they were there meant to be seen. Anyone who takes a clear look at that.
Little money.
Says they were meant to be seen.
You know, some paid actors there to be on camera so that, you know, I mean, how many of these false flag ops do we see actors there who were paid to be there? You know, it's like, I'm sure Handsome Truth, you know, John Menadeo of Petaluma, California. Look that up, folks, if you want to find his address. He's 36 years old, lives in Petaluma. You know, he right near the air base there. You know, this is your leader, and but, you know, these guys, they have to go with that narrative of hate and spin and lies and selling that narrative. And, you know, granted, you know, we're all dupes at one point or another in our lives, but John Menadeo, I mean, come on, really? The GDL, the Goyim Defense League, you know?
It's obviously
meme magic, peacocking. That's your leader. Come on. And he takes a paycheck from somebody who works for the CIA. Really? Like, come on, GDL people. Seriously. I mean, you know, I don't know why you're not up there in Petaluma beating down John Menadeo's door. Cause you know, like what the heck, man, this guy is trying to get free speech shut down and he's trying to get more genocides like the Poway shooting down near San Diego last week. That's what he's after, you know? And so, and he wants the Christians blamed for it.
It's the destruction of America. He wants the fall of the Judeo-Christian faith. Okay?
You know, that's what he's after. And all of his talking points are directly neo-Nazi and Islamic. He shares their playbook, folks. Meme magic, peacocking, the whole thing. That's your leader. Really, that's him, you know? Wake up, folks. All you guys are, you know, being taken for a ride by that clown. I mean, somebody who needs peacocking to get your attention, shooby-doo-wop, come on. Yeah, you know, obviously you're obsessed with me, HT. Go make some more music, all you people. You know, I honestly, I forgive your transgressions, and I really appreciate all of the free advertising you're giving me because people are really beginning to see through all your lies. And I'm glad that you people act so stupidly and overbearing that you expose yourselves as the frauds you really are. Go ahead. That's been fun.
All right. We got that off our chest now.
Oh, yeah.
Can we just start muting them all?
Amy James, you can start muting these clowns.
Thank you. All right. Now that we got that across, you're just, if anyone's taking that dude serious, Handsome Truth and all the rest of them, and you're taking him seriously, you're getting taken for a ride, man. You're getting lied to and played. Stop it.
See, you know, and Handsome Truth and all the rest of them, they have to log into every fake sock account they can. And, you know, and then they get people like Caleb and like Jesse Spots to actually believe that all the hit pieces are organic. You know, Jesse Spots did a hit piece against me recently too, but don't claim it's not a hit piece. And he couldn't even address a single line of our research. He just, you know, well, I'm glad Jan said I told him not to swim upstream so that I don't have to say that I said that, you know. Good grief,
man. All right. Well, let's get back to this. Because honestly, this is a revolutionary revisionist history that you really everyone needs to take seriously, in my opinion. And again, it's Barry Chamish. You can buy Barry Chamish's books. They're excellent. And it will help out on this story a lot. So, okay, we're back to the Muranos and the Templars. Muranos and the Templars. Now, the Templars, they have a castle in Tomar, Portugal, and it's built on the same lines as the Dome of the Rock, even though I don't really see the similarity, but they always describe it as being built in the way of the Dome of the Rock. And the reason for that is because for about, I guess it was 70 to 100 years, the actual Knights Templar occupied the Dome of the Rock. And what is coming to be, so what Barry Chamish and Elad Pressman like to discuss is that this is actually what they considered to be Solomon's temple. But this whole idea that they were digging in Solomon's temple for treasures is probably absurd. What the treasures actually were these Freemasonic practices that were given to them by the Sufis who occupied the Dome of the Rock. So what I'm trying to say here is the Templars are almost certainly have been Islamified during their crusade. They may have started out good Catholics, but after they spent their time in the Holy Land, they came back corrupted. And that is why they suffered their persecution by the King of France, because the King of France, who was a real Catholic, said, "Oh man, no way. We got to get rid of these guys and fast." So he had them all put to death. And that's where we get the whole Mohammed Baphomet. It's from these Templars. And so the Templars are chilling with the Muranos. Okay? So this is what I think happened. Shabtai Tzvi and Nathan of Gaza, they sent out their little propaganda pieces on the pirate ships of the Muranos and the Templars, because they both had to go into hiding from the Catholic Church as heretics. And that's how this story of Shabtai Tzvi spread. So eventually, like the Jews made fools of themselves during this time, okay? Like half of them, they thought they were going to be mystically transported into the New Jerusalem in Palestine, okay? They sold everything so that they, you know, could be free of all material things, so they could be taken by God. They buried themselves in dirt. They ran around naked, expecting that they were going to be transported to the New Jerusalem, all right? Now, the more regular people, they got on a boat and they went to Jerusalem. They started all showing up in Jerusalem and in Gaza around this Shabtai Tzvi. At first, the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire was like, "Oh, wow, there's a bunch of rich Jews showing up here and spending money. Oh, this is great." But then, like 1.6 million of them showed up in the Ottoman Empire, and he was like, "Oh, okay, that's enough of that. We're gonna have to shut down this circus show." So he brought Shabtai Tzvi before him, his court, and he told Shabtai Tzvi, "You know, you either convert or die." Now, that was his final thing, but the Sultan gave a long discussion with Shabtai Tzvi on why he should become. It wasn't just like die, I mean, convert or die. The Sultan actually gave him an argument. And after hearing the Sultan's argument, he decided, "You're right, I should become Islamic." And so he did. Now, this was a tragedy to most of the Jews who believed in him. And they realized they had been taken for a ride, and they basically all went back to where they came from, except for a certain group that survived in Turkey. And this group is called the Donma. And they are the ones who fully embraced Sabbatai Zvi or Sabbatai Zevi's teaching. They thought that inverting the Torah was correct, and then to join Islam was correct. So
I just want to bring up one point here. Hold your thought right there. Christian Gue, which is, of course, another SOC GDL account, they won't even mention Jacob Frank. Otherwise, all arguments will go into the kitchen sink.
Bro, I'm going to talk all about Jacob Frank. Dude, whatever. I'm getting to that. You hold your panties up, pal. I'm in a twist. You just wait.
Here's another point I have to raise again, and I've told Caleb this about, this will be the 9th or 10th time now. We're focused, this isn't about Fomenko. We're focused on what these people believe and teach and follow today.
And okay? To make the point that it isn't Judaism, guys.
It's not Fomenko. And what we're showing is that this doesn't lead into Judaism. It's not Judaism all the time, 100% of the time. Nobody else but my Jews. There's actually other players behind this, and a lot of it leads to Islam that none of you people want to discuss. You know, Fomenko isn't the only authority out there. I love reading Fomenko, too. I think his work is fascinating. You know, but I have not gone through and fact-checked every single one of his citations, and neither have you, Caleb, or anybody else.
Anyway, just, yeah, we're getting...
He says, then why bring up history? Well, if you... Okay, his point is you have to discuss Fomenko's history or no history at all. That's his argument, you know, right. And 100% of the time, and then Fomenko argues it's the Jews, so it's the Jews, and never mind that Fomenko's human too... And, you know, and never mind that he hasn't even verified Fomenko's citations. So, you know, if that's even possible, since they're all in Russian archives and whatnot. So what we're doing is going by the available citations that everyone can fact check. And then he says, bad arguments. So, you know, saying everything is Fomenko is a bad argument, you know.
Forget it. You don't let him derail the show.
Yeah.
Let's let the people who want to learn something learn something. All right, so the Donma, this is where Sabbatai Zvi's teachings were preserved, and it's in Turkey, and it's with a bunch of Jewish families that converted to Islam. Now, what does that mean? It means you ascribe to all five of the basic precepts. Okay, that's it. All you got to do is five things. That's it. Five.
And go through the five.
I don't know them all. I just know there's five. It's like the prayer, the Hajj, Ramadan. Ugh. Help me out.
I don't know the last two. Sorry.
Nah. We're poor students of Lloyd. Lloyd's going to have to beat us over the head with Islam some more. I'm not looking forward to it. But we have to learn these things. All right.
Yeah. Well, you know, and... You know, I've set up appointments for some of these people to have conversations with Lloyd about that, and then they didn't show up, you know?
Yeah, so all right. So the Donma. So in Turkey, they're Islamic Jews, and they're the ones who have kept Sabbatai Zvi's teachings alive of inverting the Torah. All right, so... It's hard to figure out a lot about the Donma, but what Elad Pressman likes to think is that the Donma actually integrated with the Ismaili assassins, because the Ismaili assassins had to flee from Afghanistan when the Mongols came, and then they resettled in Turkey, and then infiltrated and took over the Bektashi Sufi cult in Turkey. All right. So he thinks that the Donma and the Assassins have merged. So there's that. Right. So we kind of lose track of what's going on with the Shabtai Svi people for a while, for, I don't know, almost 100 years. Okay. We don't hear a whole lot about them or have any knowledge about what they're up to per se. But the Shabtai Svi episode gave in the minds of the Jewish people this desire to go back to Jerusalem. They wanted to go back. Now, before Shabtai Svi had shown up, the Orthodox Jewish teaching was that the Jews were not holy enough to go back to Jerusalem. They had sinned. God took Jerusalem away from them, and now no longer were they supposed to be in Jerusalem. It wasn't for them yet, because they had to make themselves right with God again, and then God would bring them back to Jerusalem. And that's still even the opinion of many Orthodox Jews in, say, England. Okay, that's what they teach. They go out there and they burn the Zionist Israeli flag because they don't believe in a secular nation of Jews. They don't think that that's what God wants.
Like the Neturi Karta group.
Right. So anyway, but this whole thing with Shabtai Svi really got it in the hearts and minds of the people that they wanted to go back. So that is where we get the birth of Zionism. It's actually from this call of Shabtai Svi of everyone to go back to Jerusalem, because the new age with the new Torah and the new laws was going to come into effect, and the Jews would rule and reign from Jerusalem. But it didn't happen. Now, this secret society of the Donma, This is the true, like, Illuminati of the Jews. And let's repeat, they inverted the Torah. They took everything that was good and made it bad, and everything that was bad and made it good. And, like, nearly all of the Jews who were following that until he went into Islam said, oh, no way, we're going back to where we came from. But they left with this, like, sadness, because they wanted Jerusalem back. So this is where I think the Zionist impetus comes. But the Zionist movement doesn't even exist until 1880, about. And it's started, the official starter of it is Theodore Herzl, something like that, Theodore Herzl. And actually, he went around campaigning, campaigning throughout Europe and the Middle East, trying to get a Jewish state. Now, they, of course, wanted Jerusalem, but at this point, the Jews were just so desperate to have a place of their own, because of all the crap they take everywhere they go, that they were willing to take Uganda, because the British owned Uganda at the time. And they were saying, well, since we can't have Jerusalem, just give us Uganda. And there was a lot of support in the Zionist movement for that. But that wasn't to be, because the Zionist movement, while though it started with Torah-believing Jews, it ended up becoming subverted by the Sabbateans, which are Frankists, okay? So now we're going to talk about Frankists. So Frankists come about 100 years before that, the Zionist movement, and they... Jacob Frank considered himself the second coming of Shabtai Svi. Okay. Now, Jacob Frank was from Germany. And what he ended up doing is he went to the Catholic authorities, and he told the Catholic authorities that we are anti-Talmuds. Okay? So on that alone, the Catholic bishop accepted them as Catholics for calling themselves anti-Talmuds. And they all burned their Talmuds, okay? Willingly. And there was about 5 to 10,000 Jews who did this. And that's Frankism, Jacob Frank. So Jacob Frank from there moved his group to Frankfurt. And what he started doing there was taking all of his followers and having them join Freemasonic lodges until it came to the point where they overtook the Freemasonic lodges in Frankfurt and Munich. And so, okay, so let's remember, these are Sabbateans. They believe in Shabtai Svi. They believe in inverting the Torah. And they believe that Jacob Frank is the second coming of Shabtai Svi. So, strangely enough, he is in Frankfurt at the same time as Adam Weishaupt and Rothschild. Okay? So, they're all in the same city, all at the same time. Now, this is where the general consensus is of the Illuminati conspiracy, okay, is that this is where it was given birth. It's between the Rothschilds banking family, even though they weren't a banking family yet. They were just coin traders. Adam Weishaupt, the defunct Jesuit priest, and the Sabbatean Frankist of Germany. And so what we have to stop here is this is the generally understood thing, but Adam Weishaupt is identified as a Rosicross mystic, okay? Now, a book written by Baron von Sabbatendorf called The Secret Practices of the Sufi Freemasons says that the Sufi Freemasons were in dire trouble and that they were about to lose their control. And so that they remembered that they had friends in Europe. And so they went to seek out their friends in Europe, and their friends in Europe can be considered the Rosicross mystics and the alchemists. Okay? So Adam Weishaupt is identified in occult literature in more than one spot as a Rosicross mystic. So there's your Islamic connection again. So you've got the Sabbateans, whose Messiah converted to Islam. You have Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit. And I don't think he's defunct, and I don't think there was any conflict between him and the Jesuit order, being a Rosicross mystic. So there's your Islamic connection there. Now, I think Rothschild in all of this, he's just a greedy Jew. and his sons had stumbled upon a really, you know, a good idea that if you control the money, you can control the nation. So they're just good money guys, these Rothschilds. Where they're really taking their orders from is, well, it appears to be crypto Jews and crypto Catholics. But look how fascinating that is, because really the big debate in any serious conspiracy realm has always been, well, who's more in control? Is it the Jews or is it the Pope? Well, here we find so-called Jews and so-called papists are really influenced by Islamic teachings. Okay? So I know this is contrary to everything anyone's ever been told before, but these are simply the facts. And we need to pay attention to this. So these Frankists in Germany, because Zionism is born in Vienna, Germany. The word is invented in Vienna, Germany in 1880. And it was originated by Torah-believing Jews who wanted a home for themselves, finally. Because you got to understand, these Sabbateans in Germany, well, they did. They ended up taking over. And you know, just before World War I and World War II, I mean, the first, as far as I know, the first gay live pornographic show you could ever go to in Europe is from Germany shortly before Hitler took over, right? And that gets blamed on the Jew. Well, guess what kind of Jew it was running those cabarets? Sabbatean ones, ones that invert the Torah. A Jew who says he's a Jew, but he's not a Jew.
You know, what does it take to get people to start focusing on the specifics and stop broad brushing all Jews for this stuff? I mean, we've made this point, what, a dozen, two dozen times, and then people will still focus on it's the Jews. You know, it's like, okay, is it the Sabbateans? Is it atheist Jews? Okay, well, you know, if they're atheists, they're not following the Torah, much less the Talmud, a law book. And therefore, they're not Jews, you know. And then people will say, well, it's all based on the Talmud. Well, if you spend the time to read the legalese of the Talmud, you realize that that claim is absolutely unfounded and ridiculous.
I just got done telling you that Jacob Frank and a whole bunch of Jews call themselves anti-Talmuds.
Right.
Anti-Talmuds.
Right. Yeah. So then who?
They voluntarily burnt them. Voluntarily.
So let's see. Utero Band says to me, by the way, we have no association with Islamic groups, nor do we have any affiliation with neo-Nazi groups. Please stop the unnecessary slander as we are only respectful in your dialogue. Well, that's not true. They're not respectful. But here's the thing, is all of their talking points are directly from Islam and from the Nazis. So if you're using all of the same exact talking points as Islam and the Nazis, then you are affiliated with Islam and the Nazis. You know, you may be a dupe, you may be ignorant that that's what you're spreading, but that is what in fact you're spreading. And if you don't realize that, you need to wake up. At least some of you who have your, you know, your wits about you, go and search out a film called Obsession. Type in on YouTube, Obsession and Islam. It should pop up first. And that video will break it down for you how closely affiliated these, you know, Islam and Nazism are. And then we've, as we've already shown, the KKK, again, one of these same or similar hate groups whose book is called the
Quran.
Quran, thank you. It just brain farted right when I went to say it. You know, and then you start realizing, wait, the KKK, the Nazis, and Islam all go by the exact same talking points that all of the GDL people also use. Then you go, huh, well, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, and so, you know, some of you are no doubt dupes and don't have, you know, the cognitive ability to realize that you are selling Islamic neo-Nazi KKK talking points, but that's what you're doing. And that's what Handsome Truth, John Menadeo, Albert Bashai, these guys, that's what they've got you wrapped up in. And then you go in and you take over chats to shut down free speech. If you have to think who benefits. And when you look at the play out of this, the only group that benefits is Islam. So how can we not call you Islamists or Islamic apologists? You know, and so, you know, you have to start seeing the bigger picture on how you yourselves have associated yourselves with that agenda. And then when you
right.
get...
And honestly, I don't even care about proving whether you're really like a true jihadi or not. The point is that what you're getting played for the things that are inspired by Islam. We're making a point after point in these shows that I've been doing, and everything leads back to a mystical tradition that was passed on from the Arabs and the Islamic
right.
world into the Jewish Christian world. Okay.
Right.
Not the other way around.
You know, so and so this guy, Udur Oban, just says again, we have never said a single word of support for any of these groups. They go around with all of the exact same talking points. The only group that benefits is Islam. It's not hard to figure out. There was a shooting last weekend in Poway, near San Diego, at a synagogue where the people followed your talking points. Somebody was murdered because of the dumb shit you idiots spread around. And I don't care if you think you're Christians. A Christian doesn't go around spreading lies and hate like that. You know, you stick to the facts and the truth and whatever you can prove. You stick to Logos. You don't go around and spread a bunch of lies so that people go into synagogues and start shooting up the place over fake Talmud quotes and lies that you people spread. Try for a minute, you guys, to use your brains, this thing in between your ears, you know, that you were given to hopefully think with and come to truth, you know, but you're all using the same stupid talking points. Again, go watch Obsession, the film, and you'll realize, oh, we're Zoroastrians. Well, so was Muhammad. Never mind. Forget it. You know, it's like, wow. You know, they don't get it. Theodore McMaster in the troll account is all caught up. This is
whatever.
Such a shit show.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. So I was talking about Zionism. Zionism was originated by decent Torah-believing Jews. It gets co-opted by Jacob Frankist, Sabbatean Jews. And in fact... the original leader with Theodore Herzl, he tried to get the Palestinian and Jerusalem for the Jews, but when he went and talked to Kaiser Wilhelm, and then he went and talked and traveled with Kaiser Wilhelm to Jerusalem to talk about it, and then went on to Constantinople to talk about it with the Ottoman Empire leader, The Ottoman Empire said, no, you can't have it. We're never going to give it to you. You can stop thinking about that. And so he gave up on it and he said, all right, we'll take Uganda instead. But that doesn't play along with the goal, because the goal is to get the Jews into Palestine and Gaza, right? So he goes in after these failed mission with Kaiser Wilhelm to try and get it. He goes back and he tells the British. So there's this group of royals who think that they're Jews, right? In the British Isles. It's called the British Israelite movement. Okay. And so for a while there, the English royalty were kind of acting like they were Jews. And since the British Empire at that time was, I mean, they owned a whole lot of stuff, thought they wanted Jerusalem to make it their new, like, capital or whatever. And so, honestly, that's what World War I's really fought over, is between the Ottoman Empire and the Germans for Jerusalem, between the British Empire and the French for Jerusalem. Now, this is an idea that, like, no one else is going to tell you either. But that's really kind of what it was, because, and the British won. The British came in and they took over Palestine and they owned Palestine. So let me see. I'm getting this a little bit jumbled up here because I think I skipped some stuff. But, oh, wait, no, we're on track. Okay. So World War I is actually about the fight for Jerusalem. It's the fight between the German and Ottoman Empire alliance, which is Turkey in essence, and then the British and French alliance. So the British Israelites, they wanted Palestine for themselves. And the Germans, they just wanted to get rid of the Jews. And so there was this competition about how to handle the situation in order to get the Jews out of Germany and all congregated in one spot. Because most of the Jews in Europe are in Hungary, in Poland, in Germany. They're not like and London. Not London, but yeah, London and England in general. So that's where most of the Jews are. So these Sabbateans, they got behind this Zionist movement because they thought to themselves, all right, this is our best way of getting like a Sabbatean, like Shabtai Tzvi was promised us, a new Jerusalem where we get to have our inversion of the Torah, and we get to leave that whole moral law behind, and we'll have an empire finally for ourselves. So, and they're Islamified Jews. That's what these people are, Islamified Jews. So they get behind it. And these Sabbateans are also in England, okay? They were converted to Sabbateanism. They weren't converted to regular Judaism. So the English didn't like it that their poster boy of Zionism gave up and started pushing this Uganda answer instead. They said, no, we have to have Palestine. So this guy, the poster boy of Zionism, he dies mysteriously at the age 44. Everyone says that he worked so hard that he had a heart attack and fell over dead at age 44. So, I mean, as we know from science now, people don't really have heart attacks at age 44 unless they're doing lots of cocaine or something. So this guy was taken out of the way because this is the thing. The rule is the Jews have to go back to Palestine, all right? So where we go from here? So the Ottoman Empire and Germany have been close for a long time. And oh man, where do I want to go from here? I just want to hit this. So in World War I and World War II, the German military dropped pamphlets over the Middle East trying to tell all the Muslims that they were the friends of Islam. Okay. Over and over again, like millions and millions of pamphlets they dropped over. I mean, even some of them in World War II called Hitler Isa, which is the name of, you know, Jesus in Islam. So, like, they were really hardcore trying to associate themselves with the Muslim Empire. Okay? So
I just, hold on, I have one here for you. And we've just covered all of this, so this is irony at face value when people can't clear the wax out of their ears or something, but Nazism was supported by Zionists to promote anti-Semitism. Well, to get Jews out of Europe. That's why Weizmann negotiated the transfer agreement with Heydrich.
Yeah. So the Zionist Party. Okay, so before the transfer agreement of 1933, in 1932, there were 232 Jewish organizations in Germany. After the transfer agreement in 1933, there was one, and it was called Labor Zionism. Okay? One. One allowed Jewish organization. And the thing is that I don't honestly think at first, I can't say that. What I can say is that the Sabbateans hate the Jews as much as Islam does. Okay, guys? This secret cult of inverted Torah weirdos is pissed off at all the other Jews who didn't like that their Messiah converted to Islam, who says that having sex with kids is okay, who says raping women's okay, who says killing people is okay. Like, it's an inversion of the Torah, maybe, just maybe. And maybe that's why they thought being Islamic, oh, we don't have to invert anything anymore. Oh, the prophet Muhammad, yeah, oh, this is the new Torah. We get to just do what we want. I get it. Yeah, you ever think that maybe? And they just keep this idea of being the Jew so right. that they can well, create a boogeyman?
Right. Well, you know, and so the North in the chat says, what about when it really is the Jews, okay, and by using such language, he's painting all Jews rather than trying to be specific. You know, if a specific person or a handful of people do a specific thing, well, then accuse that specific group. It's like Jesus's death being accused on all Jews. No, it was based on the group that was there, that was actually in attendance, not all the Jews, you know, so we have to use an iota of critical thinking. When we talk about the Jews, we have to be specific. And then he goes on and he says, I mean, it is the Jews sometimes, right? So what he thinks is that all the Jews act in a chorus, you know, to commit certain things rather than being specific. Okay, was it this person? Was it that person? Let's be specific. Stop using sweeping generalizations. I mean, your own statements reveal the stupidity of, or your own questions reveal the stupidity in them. The Jews. Okay, be specific. You know, why are we accusing all? You know, and we have to be specific about Islam. But the difference with Islam is that these are tenets that are built into Islamic beliefs, whereas you guys go around and create fake Talmud quotes and things that you spread around. You create, you know, sweeping generalizations and lies. We just finished a 7-part series with Lloyd showing how the Islamic texts show these things in their beliefs very specifically, whereas you guys have to make up lies. There is a huge difference in that. When one is based on the belief system itself or the belief slash political system itself, that's one thing. When the other one, you have to make up lies and create sweeping broad brush generalizations and you can't, you know, focus on any facts. Everything is about the Jews. You know, even the Bible, what? Revelation 3:9 tells you those who claim they are Jews and are not, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan, which is what Todd has been discussing here the whole show. Learn to be specific. Clearly, those who violate and who do lie and who do those things aren't Jews if they're atheists. If they're atheists, quote-unquote Jews, well, the idea of a Jewish race didn't even come along per Shlomo Sand's book, The Invention of the Jewish People, till the 1700s. So then why are we accusing all Jews of the crimes of atheists? Well, shouldn't we be calling them atheists? So, you know, what we're trying to do is get people to learn to be more specific and stop using this retarded language. You know, it's like, you know, it's, you know, my Jews. It's like, you know, the language is so dumb and ridiculous. It's like, come on. You know, and we're trying to show you that there are all of the Islamic ties into, like, I started off the quote, you know, from Robert Graves' introduction earlier who worked with Gordon Wasson, who is tied directly to MKUltra. Robert Graves was in the OTO, you know, started by Aleister Crowley, who is tied to Islam again, who was, you know, again, you know, Islamists follow will. Christians follow logos or truth. They're entirely different. And most Jews, if they're following the Torah, they actually do follow logos. They may not believe in Jesus, which they should, but, you know, they still follow logos. And if they're doing those things, guess what? We shouldn't be really calling them Jews. You know, maybe there are some that are very bad Jews who would follow the Torah and do those things. But if they're doing that stuff, we can't be calling them Jews, you know, or Sabbateans, for instance. These are people that invert the Talmud, that invert all of this stuff and use it for ill. And as you showed last week, Todd, that's what the secret Talmud is they take it and they switch everything around and invert it and take the letters and mix it all up and create a bunch of cognitive dissonant crap that for magic and for split personality. And then all of the Jews get blamed for that. And so we have to start looking at this. Wait a second. Why are they doing this? And why are all Jews getting blamed? Why does Revelation 3:9 talk about those who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan? Aren't those exactly like the Sabbateans? So what we're trying to do is get people to think about the specifics and stop the hate speech and the stupid crap that the GDL, et cetera, are spreading around. And we're trying to stop any more mass shootings like this garbage that happened, you know, in San Diego at the synagogue last weekend.
Exactly. That's the only reason I'm up here, people. I mean, I was perfectly happy to remain in anonymous town and never show my face. But it comes a time where you have to get up, stand up, and do something. And we can't just let this keep going on. And I figured out that there's a wider story, and we've had a bait and switch. We had a hardcore bait and switch. I used to believe that whole nonsense of the Saudi Arabian Jews too.
You know what? And you, Todd, you know, were adamant fighting against Lloyd day after day, week after week for several months before it all clicked in your head and you went, oh crap, you know? And so, you know, what we're trying to do is just, you know, get people to realize that there is more to the narrative than you're being told.
Yes, exactly. I mean, two months, every spare moment I had researching history, occult literature, and all the rest, and the story becomes more and more clear that honestly the entire Zionist movement was a way for the Sabbateans to cull the herd. Okay, they hated the Jews that didn't stay true to Shabtai Tzvi, who didn't
because,
want to follow.
And they thought that Shabbatai Tzvi was the Messiah.
Literally, not
Jesus, but this Satanist, mentally deranged guy who had bipolar and whatnot, who led them all astray and then joined Islam because it's about will.
Right. Exactly. So they hate Torah-believing Jews. They hate them. They want them dead, okay? Because remember, Sabbateans say that thou shalt not kill becomes thou shalt kill. Now, after the originator of the Zionist movement ended up dying, it got taken over by another guy. I can't remember his name. But in a speech, he says specifically, and this is before anything had happened, okay, with Hitler, and this before Hitler, okay, had arrived on the scene, and he tells the International Zionist Committee or Party or whatever the heck it's called, that the coming Holocaust will be hard on the Jewish people, but after the end of it, we will be left with Jews who are good and strong for the Zionist movement. Okay, the guy used the word Holocaust before Hitler ever showed up on the scene. And he was a Sabbatean
Islamist, a fake Jew.
Yes.
Who was trying to get the Jews genocided. And today, you know, so many people are accused for what these Sabbateans and whatnot do, and the atheists and whatnot as well.
And so, honestly, you could find, if you do, because I used to be, you know, a fan of Hitler. I don't like to admit it, but I just did. And you could do research, and you could find these Jewish camps where the Jewish individuals were in that camp were treated very nicely. And they thought, like, wow, Hitler's a really great guy. He moved us into this Jewish community center, and we get to learn all about our Jewishness and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Those Jewish community centers were run by Zionist Labor Party people, and they shipped them all off to Palestine. Now, the ones, look, so the most hardcore Torah-believing Jews were in Poland and Hungary. Now, what happened to those Jews? They were wiped out, hardcore. None of those Jews were allowed into Palestine, and they tried to go. Because you have to understand, it's in 1920s that the first Jews go back to Palestine under the authority of the British, okay? So the Zionists have been trying to move Jews over there, but they're not very successful. They've only got like 10,000 people there, right? Or even less. And they need bodies. Their Zionist movement, which is the Sabbateans, need bodies. And they want to take it over. So in 1933, they signed the transfer agreement. And the transfer agreement basically says, Hitler, make it as uncomfortable as possible for the Jews to stay in Germany. And tell them that if they're willing to trade all of their wealth for your goods, that we'll bring them down here. So, you know, they ended up sending about 60,000 Jews from Germany into Palestine from this transfer agreement. And this is from 1933 until 1939, and Palestine, and Rothschild built the first city, and it was like this burgeoning little metropolis area starting to take shape. Now, after 1939, just as the war is about to start, the British authority, the British royalty said, you can't take any more Jewish immigrants into Palestine anymore. So the British are as involved in the culling of the unfit Jews, the non-Sabbatean Jews, the Jews who are not willing to embrace secular culture, who are not willing to embrace homosexuality, who are not willing to blah, blah, blah. All those Jews have to die. So in 1939, they're not allowed to take any more people. And millions of Jews wanted to go, but weren't allowed to go. And they died. All of them died. And that's literally why we have there's so few Jews left. Like, come on. And honestly, like Hitler was inspired by the Thule Society, right? He joined the Thule Society. And the Thule Society is a creation of a man named Baron von Sabbatendorf. And he's a German, born in Germany, but then gets adopted by a Jewish family in Turkey, which means a Sabbatean Jewish family in Turkey. And this Jewish family in Turkey happened to be members of a Bektashi Sufi Freemasonic lodge. Now, what? Very strange. Very strange there ought to be some Jews in a Sufi Freemasonic lodge. Very strange. Now, this Baron von Sabbatendorf gets initiated in this Jewish Bektashi Sufi lodge, and he gets a mission. And this mission is to go back to Nazi Germany. And he starts the first Bektashi Sufi lodge in all of Europe in Germany under the rise of Hitler, as Hitler is coming to power. So after he establishes his Bektashi Sufi order, well, all the other Sabbatean Freemasonic lodges, they all get kind of interested in, whoa, who's this strange guy from Turkey showing up and starting this Sufi lodge? So he starts talking to him, and then they congregate together into the Thule Society. Now, the Thule Society is what Hitler ends up joining. And in the Thule Society is where that theory of the racial identity of Jewishness was highly propounded. And Baron von Sabbatendorf ran a newspaper and would publish all of those papers about the racial identity of Jewishness, as opposed to the you know, religious part of being a Jew, which is what I think a real Jew is. If you're Torah observant, you're a Jew. So from there, he's running newspapers against the Jews, and then Baron von Sabbatendorf started the National Socialist, the NSDAP, the National Socialist, I can't remember what it all stands for, but it was also known as the Nazi Party. So the Nazi Party is started by a Jew, okay, who was not a Jew. He's a Sufi from Turkey. And from there, Hitler took over that movement that this Baron von Sabbatendorf had started. Okay? So that's Nazism. It comes from a Islamic Jew. All right? And he's pretty much the mastermind of getting that whole thing started in Germany. And I'm going to go into another show where we talk about the book that this Baron von Sabbatendorf wrote and some of the interesting connections. And, well, what do you know what his book also is about? It's about how to take the Quran and scramble up the letters so that you can have a mystical experience.
Wow. So Utera Band finally is posting very calmly and intelligently. And he said, I recommend the book Freemasonry and Islam by Thierry Zarcone. I agree with you on the point that Freemasonry and Islam are very closely tied. Albert Pike may have been a crypto-Jewish Muslim. And, you know, and you and I have talked about this already, that, you know, that Pike was definitely believed in the Quran and held that Islam was the highest religion. So he was an Islamist. But, you know, it, just call it what it is. You know, it's just like Sabbatai Zevi going into Islam. These are Islamists. And so, you know, if they're not following the Torah, they're not Jews. So stop blaming the Jews for everything these other groups do.
Yeah, and you've got to understand that Shia Islam, which is what Bektashi and Sufism is Shia, in essence, is actually very understanding of other religious traditions, because in so long as you will say that Allah is the only true God, and there's only one, and Muhammad is his prophet, right? So as long as you make those admissions, you could still maintain your traditions. So especially go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add to your point there regarding Shia Islam, that's a branch off of Hassani Sabah, ironically, which is what the heck we've been talking about, which is the guy who created the assassins, the Hashishans, that is based off of dumbing people down and hypnotizing them with drugs, which again ties to MK Ultra, which ties to this guy, Robert Graves, who was working with Gordon Wasson, who was MK Ultra Sub Project 58. So, I mean, we don't have to go far to get back at this. And sure, you know, yes, I thought that many of these people were just straight up Jewish. And then I start looking deeper, you know, and you start going through the database. It's in there too. And I would see these connections just kind of go, huh, Islam. I didn't think it was important. And I only focused on the Jewish connections. And then you start looking more closely at it and you see that these connections are far more important than when you or I even realized, you know, a few months ago.
Yeah. And obviously, and think about it, guys, like if it's because if the whole truth movement agrees basically now that on the JQ, then like, that's when, you know, like if the herds all, if the lemmings are all running one way, then you're like, wait a second. It should be a clear indication that, wait, so I got something wrong. These lemmings are running awfully fast in this direction.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know what? Justin Lee said he just screenshotted every degree in Freemasonry a few hours ago. It's definitely Islamic. And then Caleb wants to know, can you please provide citations that shows Sevi and these other fake Jews who converted to Islam were actually Muslim pretending to be Jewish? And that's just an idea that myself and Lloyd had said. And you think that Zevi was Jewish and had gone to Islam, not the other way around. So Caleb,
well, but see, what does it matter? Because Shabtai Zvi was in Spain. Okay. And Spain was like, The
controlled by Islam at the time.
Yeah, but they didn't get kicked out all the way until 1601, right? So Shabtai Zvi comes along in 1666, and so there's a little bit of time frame there. So what I'm trying to tell you is he was a Kabbalist. I told you he was in a Kabbalistic secret school, and I went and told you the definition of Kabbalah, the etymology of Kabbalah. It's from Arabic, Kabbalah. They just added a C and one extra B. And it's the same thing, the same definition, but the Arabic word is older. Older. So what does that mean? That means that the older influences the newer. It's not the other way around.
And we still haven't posted up all of the book citations. We need to get that done this week for people.
Yeah, I'll give you the books that
I just
that
posted.
I'll,
this one, which is The Sufis by Idris Shah, with the introduction by Robert Graves, who is the head of the OTO, who worked with Gordon Wasson and MKUltra and all that stuff.
And go read Barry Chamish's Shabtai Zvi, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust, and we will have all the information you need.
There you go. Got anything else to add for this episode? Is that a good place to wrap it up?
No, it's a good place to wrap it up. I just like I said, the next time I get on, what I want to do is I want to get into the Ismaili, because I found the Ismaili Research Center for the World, and so I've been digging into that, and that's been fun. And so after that, I just want to go into the Baron von Sabbatendorf book, and I want to show you how Islam created the Illuminati. Islam is behind the Illuminati, and it was behind Nazism and all the rest. And I can prove it, and I'll have citations next time. But for now, I just wanted to have fun and a freeform jam, since, like, you know, I beat you all over the head with too many quotes last time, and so I wanted to do a different format and just kind of like chat about what I've been studying for the past friggin' 20 years, basically. So,
well, thanks. You know, thanks again for your time, and thanks everybody for showing the support. Thanks to all the hit piece videos and whatnot out there. We really appreciate all of the free advertising and everything. We've got GDL running all over everything. Of course, you know, anybody who provides citations and questions their narrative is a disinformation agent or a Jew or a Mossad agent or this or that. When you can't think, you make up lies and spread dumb crap, right? Angry Ice Wolf. And so anyway, thanks everyone for your participation, and You know, we appreciate, once again, appreciate all of the free advertising and everything that you guys have been doing for us and trying to suppress this work. And, you know, I mean, as they say, any publicity is good publicity. And, of course, we forgive your transgressions as we are Christians, and that's what we do. And hopefully you can learn that spreading hate and lies and whatnot is the least Christian thing that you could possibly do if you're trying to win people over. Thanks, everybody who participated, and thanks for all the comments and whatnot. Thanks, Todd, for your time, and we'll figure out. You know what? Next week I might not be able to do a show. I have a doctor's appointment and another appointment that runs right up to 5, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to get home in time at all to do a show.
I need a month so I can just knock this next one out of the park.
Yeah. Well, Caleb says he wants to talk to you. We had tried to schedule a talk with you and Caleb and Lloyd this week, and he didn't show up, so I'll leave it up to you if you want to talk. And anyway, take care, folks, and see you next week.
See ya.